Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants her words to be like this.
To speak words that are few, but that are appropriate, and they're well-timed. Words that encourage. Words that express wisdom.
Do you want that too? This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for July 17th, 2025. I'm Dana Gresh. Margaret Achieng Matohu listens to Revive Our Hearts on her phone in Uganda, and she remembers a time she hurt her husband with her words.
I found myself using a lot of being negative, especially towards him, the words that I used.
She recognized a need to repent for the way she spoke to her husband. We'll hear more from Margaret later. Her story illustrates the power of words. We've been listening to Nancy's classic message on that very topic. She recorded it in the early days of Revive Our Hearts, but praise the Lord, His word is timeless and powerful for us today. Let's listen.
It's amazing how much damage little things can do. I read about an occasion, September 11th, 1995, when a squirrel climbed on some railroad power lines near New York City. Set off an electrical surge, which, according to this account, weakened an overhead bracket, which let a wire dangle toward the tracks, which tangled in a train, which tore down all the lines. And as a result, 47,000 commuters were stuck in Manhattan for hours that night. A squirrel. Just a little thing, but a lot of damage. Well, over these last days, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, and we've been seeing how something as small as our tongues can create incredible damage. We've looked in the book of Proverbs at a lot of wrong uses of our tongue. And I just want to highlight some of those here by way of review and reminder. We've talked about lying, the sin of deception and lying, about slandering, about gossip, about too much talking, constant talking, idle chatter. We've talked about giving false witness. Proverbs talks about the sin of mocking with our tongues. It talks about harsh words, rough words, and then perverse words, words that are corrupt or evil, profane words, careless words. We didn't hit this in this series, but another thing Proverbs talks about is a whole area of boasting with our tongues. And another area we didn't touch on is the area of quarreling words, argumentative words, contentious words. And by the way, lest we forget, Proverbs reminds us that a husband would rather live in a corner of the rooftop or go out and live by himself in the wilderness than have to live with a woman who's got a contentious spirit and a contentious tongue. The whole area of nagging, it can drive men away. It can drive them nuts. And often we do that with our tongues. Proverbs talks about a foolish person using flattering with their words, ignorant words, foolish words. And oh my, as we've spent these days walking through the book of Proverbs, we've been convicted, we've confessed our sin, we've said, Lord, it's me, forgive me. I see that mirror of your word has exposed my heart. It's shown me the sinful ways I use my tongue. We've seen that these sinful types of speaking are connected to a sinful heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths speak. And so we've cried and we've prayed and we've shared and we've asked the Lord to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our tongues. And we want to make sure that we're not just avoiding wrong uses of our tongues, but that we're also using our tongues in ways that are right and wholesome and good. During the series, one of the women said, in between one of the sessions, she said, I've been thinking about maybe taking a week-long fast from speaking. Fast with my tongue. And that may not be a bad idea. I shared with you how I did that for about 40 hours, except when I broke it to talk to myself. I lost control there. But, you know, you can't go forever and not talk. And God doesn't intend we should go forever and not talk. God intends for us to use our tongues in ways that give life, that build up, that edify and encourage. And Proverbs has given us a lot of insight into appropriate ways to use our tongues, to speak words that help, words that encourage, words that express wisdom. to speak words that are few, but that are appropriate, and they're well-timed. Words that are fitting, words that are kind, words that are true. One area we didn't touch on, but it's stated through the book of Proverbs, is using our tongues to speak wise rebuke. Now, that's a double-edged sword, because often when we're giving a rebuke, we're sure it's wise, but the person who's receiving it may not be so sure that it's wise. And we need to make sure before we do give rebuke to others, if it's to your children or it's to a fellow church member or somebody at work, we need to make sure, first of all, that we've dealt with the issue in our own heart that we may be blind to. We may be seeing blatantly in someone else's life what is not so obvious to us in our own lives. And then when we do rebuke, it has to be with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of meekness. But there is a place for loving, wise, kind rebuke. Proverbs talks about the beauty of a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And God used that verse in my life not too long ago to speak to me about having an ear that responds to wise rebuke. You can't talk about the tongue without talking about the ear. So if we're going to be giving wise rebuke, we need to make sure that we're listening to wise rebuke as God brings that into our paths. Then Proverbs talks about defending the cause of the helpless with our tongue, words that are carefully chosen. I have to tell you, one of my greatest fears about being in public ministry, about teaching the Word of God, is the danger of sinning with my tongue even while I'm speaking. While I'm speaking to others, while I'm teaching the Word of God. Because Proverbs tells us where there are many words, sin is inevitable. And I know that the more I speak, the more likely the chance that I will sin with my tongue. That's why I try to take time to prepare. That's why I write a lot of notes, because I know that when I get to speaking off the cuff or without thinking, that I will be more likely to say something that is not wise or is not prudent or appropriate. Now, as we've seen these right uses of words and wrong uses of words, what are we to do? Now that we've seen the right uses of our tongue and foolish uses of our tongue from the book of Proverbs, let me just give several concluding suggestions from the Word of God about what to do with what we've learned and what we've seen. First, and always the first step, is as God shows us the issue in our heart, is to repent, to confess the ways that we have sinned with our mouth. Not to focus on how others have sinned against us with their tongues, but to focus on what God has shown us. And then ask God to purify your heart. Ask Him to cleanse it, because as you have a pure heart, you will speak pure words. And then the third principle is to fill your heart with the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 tells us that every word of God is pure. So if my mind and my heart are filled with the Word of God, then when I get pushed or shoved or squeezed, what's going to come out? It's going to be pure words, the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that the Lord gives wisdom. You want a wise heart? You want a wise tongue? Where are you going to get that wisdom? From the Lord. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs talks about having a mouth of knowledge, speaking wisely and knowledgeably. Where do you get true wisdom and knowledge? You get it from the Lord. So fill your mind, fill your thoughts, fill your heart with the Word of God. I just tell you, if you're spending your time listening to the world's television programs, reading the world's magazines, reading the world's books, filling your life with input from the world, you're going to talk like the world. That's why I needed to get up early this morning before we were together for this day and to get into the Word of God and let it saturate my mind and my heart, let it cleanse me, let it wash me, let it fill me, so that by God's grace, when I speak today, it will be words of wisdom. And then number four, we need to guard our mouths, to set a watch, a bodyguard, a tongue guard, a mouth guard. We need to ask God to guard our tongues and to guard our hearts. And I have prayed many times over the years that God would guard my heart by the power of His Holy Spirit. He can keep a watch even when I'm forgetting to keep a watch. But I also need to guard my own tongue. God's not going to do it without my cooperation. Proverbs 13 tells us, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Guard your mouth. Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And you know, I think we can help each other with this lovingly, graciously. When we get on a roll, we're in a group conversation and we're just, there's too many words being said, too many things being said that are out of bounds. We need to learn how to graciously and lovingly bring ourselves back in and then even be used to bring others back in to a guarded position. There's a verse that's not in the Proverbs, but it's in the Psalms that I'm going to challenge you to memorize and to make a part of your life. Psalm 141, verse 3. It's a prayer. I've prayed it many times, and I found myself in preparation for this series praying it again. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If I were you, I would write that verse down on a 3x5 card, on several of them, and I'd put one next to the telephone. Now, I have a lot of phones in my house, so I'd need a lot of those. And as you get on the phone, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Put one in your bathroom where you get ready in the morning. Put one at your nightstand. Put one in your car before you go to a meeting, before you go to an appointment, before you have lunch with a friend. Pray this prayer. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And Scripture says, if you guard your mouth and you get the Lord's help in guarding your mouth, you will keep your soul from destruction and trouble. And then ask God to make your words wise and kind. Wise and kind. One of my very favorite verses in the book of Proverbs comes from chapter 31, Proverbs 31, verse 26. And this is one other verse I would encourage you to memorize. It's talking here about the woman of virtue. And it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Would your family say that that verse describes you? Would the people in your workplace say that that verse describes the way you talk? Would they say, that woman, just whenever she opens her mouth, what comes out is so wise. And whenever she speaks, even if she's giving direction or instruction to her children, she's laying down the law, it's still with kindness. She's a wise and kind woman. That's the kind of woman I want to be. Now, I'll tell you, it doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. And by the power of the Holy Spirit controlling us, filling us, we can become women who have wise, kind hearts and speak wise and kind words. What a gift for you to give to your family. What a gift for you to give to your husband, to give to your children, to give to your roommate, to give to your fellow workers, to give to those you go to church with, those in your neighborhood, your friends. A wise and kind heart, out of which flow wise and kind words. Oh Lord, how we pray that you would do a work of grace in our hearts and in relation to our tongues. I want to be a woman who opens her mouth with wisdom and who speaks with the law of kindness. Lord, we've seen it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. It's the tone of voice. It's the timing. It's the appropriateness. And some of us have laid down the law and given direction, but it's not been the right time. It's not been spoken with kindness. Oh Lord, please change us, transform us, forgive us, cleanse us, remake us, guard us. Set a guard, oh Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips, that the words that come out may be words that reflect beauty and grace and draw people to the Savior, who is the living, eternal Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you think of a time when you failed to guard your mouth? Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been reminding you that you can be forgiven for every sinful word because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Not only will the Lord forgive you, He'll also teach you how to use your words to bring Him glory. Earlier, I mentioned Margaret. She's a faithful listener and pastor's wife from Uganda and has been learning just that, that you can use your words to bring God glory. Early in her marriage, Margaret fell into sinful speech patterns toward her husband.
I found myself using a lot of being negative, especially towards him, with the words that I used.
When you experience hardship in life and in marriage, you can become blind to the good qualities of your spouse. But for Margaret, God used the husband encouragement challenge from Revive Our Hearts to open her eyes again.
They would direct us to think different areas in which you could encourage your husband. Is he generous? Is he hardworking? Is he kind? And pick some of those things and tell him, especially for me during that time. And I think because they gave us those pointers, it opened my mind to like, oh, wow, yeah, there are the many things that I can say about my husband where I can tell him, I can encourage him instead of focusing on the negative.
But don't just take Margaret's word for it. Here's her husband, Joseph, to testify.
It was challenging, but yet Ash did it well. I was really encouraged. I think having gone through that exercise really has made her extra supportive. So sometimes she deals with things in patience. And sometimes it makes me even feel ashamed that I'm not doing the right thing by her. But the idea that she remains constructively positive, that's really encouraging to just see that attitude in her heart. That's refreshing, and I think it has strengthened our marriage.
Margaret wants to encourage the woman who's wrestling with negative words like she was.
I think I would first go to scriptures. I really love the scriptures that they were used in the husband encouragement challenge. The scripture in Proverbs that says that it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. That really scares me. And I remember asking my husband, am I that woman? It's just scary to think you're living with someone, but they would rather be outside. Yeah. And many other scriptures like Ephesians 4:29 on how to build one another.
Ephesians 4:29, that's such a good one. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love the ways God is using scriptures like this one to renew Margaret's mind and transform her speech. You know what else I love? Margaret's heart for her friends to experience this same transformation in their marriages.
One of the things I've also done with like friends who have afforded this is to actually also pray with them, follow up with them once in a while. How are they doing in terms of their relationship with their husband? So God's word, pray and just keep the conversation going to encourage them, but also to remind them that they are not alone.
That's right. You are not alone. So good. This couple was a delight to hear from. I'm so encouraged by the reminder that the message of Revive Our Hearts is crossing oceans, impacting women and marriages and whole families in Uganda with the truth of God's word. Margaret told us,
you might not know because you're very far, but please believe us that you're doing an incredible job in encouraging people all over the world, here in Africa. At least I know I've been to Kenya and now in Uganda, so I know there are several women who are listening to Revive Our Hearts, and that has changed their perspective in how to live as a godly woman, how to handle scriptures, and just how to stand firm as a woman in this fallen world.
Margaret's husband, Joseph, joined in too.
My dear wife, even before I got married to her, she loved Revive Our Hearts. She told me about it, I think, when we were dating and stuff. And then in our marriage life, I don't think there's a month when she has not come back to Revive Our Hearts. Sometimes I envy her that she has this personal space with Revive Our Hearts. that I need to also find a Revive Our Hearts for men. I don't know who Nancy DeMoss is for men, but someone needs to have her. But yeah, I'm really grateful for the impact. And I think that goes to shape her heart as a wife, as a mother, and I'm really grateful for you. She acts even as a church planter's wife. So we look forward to encouraging more and more women in the church plant. We look forward to encourage our daughter through all that she's learning from there, as one-on-one ministry will be going on there with women.
Praise God for using Revive Our Hearts here in the U.S. and around the world. For a list of the international ministries of Revive Our Hearts, visit reviveourhearts.com/international. It is absolutely beautiful to see the work God is doing through this ministry. Now, maybe you're like Margaret. You're married, and you're having a hard time speaking graciously to or about your husband, but you want to change that. If so, we invite you to take the Husband Encouragement Challenge. Visit reviveourhearts.com/challenges or find the link in today's transcript to sign up. When you do, you'll receive the same encouragement from Scripture that Margaret did. You know, we're able to offer things like the Husband Encouragement Challenge to women all over the world because listeners give generously to Revive Our Hearts. If this ministry's blessed you, if it's impacted your marriage or the way you use your words, would you consider giving? Right now, when you make a donation of any amount, we'll send you a booklet by Nancy called The Power of Words. It's yet another scripture-filled resource that will help you connect your heart with your words. The goal is to get to the root of any speech-related sins in your life so you can be set free. To donate, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You know, we've learned so much in this series about how we can use our words for God's glory. But what do you do when other people have hurt you through their sinful words? Nancy will address that tomorrow.
Some of you have very sensitive, tender hearts, and that's a good thing. But the enemy can use that tenderness and that sensitivity and that wonderful memory that some of us have to also cause us to live in defeat and bondage because of words that have been spoken that lodge in our hearts as that piercing sword we talked about in Proverbs that can be very destructive. And God doesn't intend that you should have to live under the bondage of words that have been spoken to you that were not biblical or were not godly or were not appropriately timed. So what does the scripture say about how we can respond when we've been the recipients of hurtful words? And a number of passages come to mind. First of all, we have to go back to the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ is God's Word. And the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, who is the expression, the revelation of who God is, that's the Word. He came to this earth. And then I think in context of the passage in Psalm 107, verse 20, that says, He sent His Word and healed them. Now, the ministry of Christ is multifaceted. Of course, His purpose for coming to earth was redemptive. It was to go to the cross and to suffer and die and bear the penalty for our sins. And part of what He bore there on the cross was all the hurtful, hateful, ugly hearts that produced hurtful, hateful, ugly words. Those we've spoken and those that have been spoken to us. He paid the penalty, which is death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He took the death that is the fruit of our evil words and the fruit of the evil words that have been spoken to us. And by His wounds, 1 Peter says, we are healed. There is healing available to us through the cross of Christ. That's part of why God sent His Word to us, so that His Word could heal us from all the damage that words have done to us and the damage that our words have done to others. We've got to go back to the cross. That's where the price was paid. That's where the penalty was paid. That's where that sin was dealt with.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.